Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahiyam Dadati Swapadantikam. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvai Tam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamsha. He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute. Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye. Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So we welcome all of you for this Sunday feast program. Today is a very special day. We have the appearance day of one of our great predecessor acharyas, Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur. Bhakti Vinod Thakur happens to be the spiritual master of Bhakti Siddha, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, who happens to be the spiritual master of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who is the spiritual master of Srila Prabhupada. So three generations before Prabhupada. And he was one of the most famous, one of the most efficient court magistrates in the during the British period, British rule. And he was known for his efficient workings and perfect judgment of trials and cases. He is known to solve cases within maximum within 5 minutes, which usually takes about half an hour, 1 hour, days together, weeks together sometimes. So he would analyze the case so perfectly, judge them and give a perfect judgment, and both parties would be satisfied. And no one would have any grudges or grumblings about any misjudgment. So Bhakti Vinod Thakur is one of our role models, in the sense that he was a pioneer of our modern Krishna consciousness movement. Prabhupada used to call him the seed of worldwide spreading of our movement was planted by Bhakti Vinod Thakur. Way back in 1896, he sent a book that he wrote, Lord Chaitanya, His Life and Precepts. And he sent it abroad for worldwide preaching. He wrote it in English, sent it to Canadian universities, and went into which university? Macmillan University, I think, in Canada. And later, when ISKCON spread and established its centers in Canada and America, devotees came across. They went to the library and found this book. That's when they came to know that Bhakti Vinod Thakur had already worked hard in international preaching, and this was one of his fruits. So why do we need to celebrate these festivals? Usually in temples or traditional Hindu culture, we see people celebrate appearance of different incarnations and different demigods. We have Ganesh Chaturthi going on. All our festivals are centered around worship of Krishna, his incarnations, or some demigods. Shivratri we have, Ganesh Chaturthi we have, Durga festival we have. We don't find a mass celebration of the birth or birthdays of some human beings. In the sense, some leaders, we have Jayanti festivals we have on our calendar. Gandhi Jayanti or Shivaji Jayanti we have. But we don't celebrate like in a worshipful mood. And so Prabhupada instituted this activity in all ISKCON temples. He wanted the followers of ISKCON followers to grandly celebrate the appearance and disappearances of not only dates connected to Vishnu incarnations, but also of great acharyas who are in our parampara, our disciplic succession, and who have contributed to a great extent for the spreading and expansion of our Vaishnava culture. So Krishna consciousness involves, and this is an integral part of our movement, celebrating and worshipping the great acharyas. So in our movement, since Prabhupada left, we celebrate the appearance and disappearance days of Prabhupada, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji, Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur and Bhaktivinoda Thakur also. It's like a major festival. We have Pushpanjalis, offerings, just like we do it for Janmashtami, Radhashtami and other Vishnu incarnation related festivals. The danger of not following these festivals is, very soon if we don't recall the pastimes and activities of these great personalities, very soon these personalities will become mythological characters. Just because Krishna's appearance happened 5000 years ago, now people are doubting whether such a person existed, whether Lord Ram existed, whether Setubandh was really built. People have big doubts whether such a thing happened, Ramayana happened or Mahabharata happened. Although we have historical, archaeological evidences to prove their existence, still people have a great doubt whether Krishna really lifted the Govardhan Hill, or whether these monkey soldiers built that long bridge all across the Indian Ocean and going to Lanka. And we have to wait for imagery from NASA scientists to prove that, oh, such a thing really happened. Now Indians are believing, oh, this really happened. Earlier when our scriptures were telling, our saints were telling, we were doubting. So just as time passes over centuries and millenniums, if you don't study and keep those activities fresh in people's minds, then it is soon forgotten and it becomes a fiction story. So if now we have in history textbooks, we have the stories of freedom struggle, national independence movement, so many political leaders sacrificing their lives for the cause of independence, and that is taught in history textbooks right from school days. If that is not taught, after 500 years, Indian independence movement will become a mythological story. Who knows? So when those things are presented and monuments are shown, how Gandhi lived here and Tilak did this, these people sacrificed their lives, they hung the Jallianwala Bagh monument. So when people see these monuments, then people understand, oh, such a thing really happened 50 years ago, 100 years ago. So similarly, we need to visit these places of pastimes where Krishna and his incarnations or his great devotees were born. These places need to be restored, and we need to visit these places and understand what all activities are performed in these places. And when we study them, then we understand, oh, such a thing is not just fiction. It could have happened. And our faith slowly and gradually increases. And once we accept their existence, then we develop faith in their teachings, their lifestyle, and the instructions they have to offer for all of humanity. So therefore it is a very important program that we need to strictly and seriously follow, so that the advantage and the glories of these personalities can be understood properly, their teachings can be imbibed in our lives seriously, and we can take a lot of benefit from their teachings and instructions. So otherwise what will happen is, if we don't have ideal role models who are pure in character, who have shown their exemplary lives, we will end up taking up some other role models in our lives. We will start worshipping maybe movie stars, film stars, sports stars, politicians, businessmen. Everyone needs a role model. And if we don't have these role models who are saintly in character, we will inevitably end up worshipping these people. So you go to hostels or colleges or anyone's house, home, who is not a devotee, they have some picture of some great people. Some scientist, maybe some movie star, Bollywood hero, heroine. So that tendency to worship someone great is there in all of us. And if you don't direct that worship towards the right people, we must end worshipping the wrong people. So therefore, this festivals are very, really very important. We have appearance and disappearance days of, tomorrow is the disappearance day of Haridas Thakur. Again, that's a festival in ISKCON temples. We will be having 12-hour kirtan here, starting from morning 9 till evening 9, night 9 o'clock. So you all are encouraged to come and participate in this festival. So in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, we have this, we have Kaviraj Goswami describing the 26 qualities of a great personality, an ideal person. We have a book called 26 Qualities of a Devotee. So there, he says, it's a very nice list of qualities. He says, Krupalu Akruta Droha Satyasara Sama Nidosha Vadanya Mrudu Shuchiya Kinchana Sarvopkaraka Shanta Krishnaika Sharana Akama Anihasthira Vijita Shadguna Mitabhuk Apramatta Manada Amani Gambhira Karuna Maitra Kavidaksha Mauni. 26. Devotees are always merciful, humble, truthful, equal to all, faultless, magnanimous, mild and clean. They are without material possessions and they perform welfare work for everyone. They are peaceful, surrendered to Krishna and desireless. They are indifferent to material acquisitions and are fixed in devotional service. They completely control the 6 bad qualities, lust, anger, greed and so forth. They eat only as much as required and they are not inebriated. Inebriated means intoxicated. They are respectful, grave, compassionate and without false prestige. They are friendly, poetic, expert and silent. 26 qualities. So every pure saint has these qualities. Every pure devotee has these qualities. And if we study the life and teachings of Bhaktivinoda Thakur and all the acharyas, you find these qualities come out so strikingly. Our devotees have even studied how, from Prabhupada's life, how he displayed these 26 qualities at various points of time. How we were expert, silent, poetic, everything. So similarly, if you study Bhaktivinoda Thakur's life also, we find all these qualities coming out in such a nice manner. So when we study these people, we get inspired to develop these qualities and work hard to develop these ornaments of a devotee. So by default, when you practice devotional service, these qualities automatically develop. The Bhagavatam says how in a devotee's personality, all the great qualities of a demigod automatically come up. Simply by practicing bhakti, simply by rendering devotional service. You need not especially extra effort you need not put to struggle and struggle hard to develop these qualities. Simply by that potency of devotional service, these qualities automatically start manifesting in a personality, devotee's life. But still, we need to take care of, we need to make sure we don't unnecessarily, carelessly commit some mistakes by which we create a wrong impression among people and represent our institution and our acharyas in a negative manner. So, it is important to be cautious about what negative qualities I am displaying, especially when I am in public. So therefore, in that sense, we need to work extra hard and make sure I need to be conscious of my shortcomings, my drawbacks, and pray and work hard to fine-tune our behavioral mistakes. So therefore, these qualities are presented. These 26 are not the only qualities, but these are the main qualities that an ideal devotee should display. So, as Baldev Prabhu was saying in the morning, how there is a book called Seventh Goswami, where the life and teachings of Bhaktivinoda Thakur are described, biography of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So there, so many pastimes have been described. In the end, there is an appendix where all the books he compiled, 7-8 pages of list of books there, in Bengali, in Sanskrit, in English, all the list of books are there, and that runs up to 7-8 pages. So many books he wrote in just a few years, especially in the later part of his life. And his daily schedule is there, how he would get up at, he would go to sleep at 8:30 and then sleep for a few hours, and then start writing for 4 or 5 hours, and then specific time for addressing correspondence, specific exact time for entertaining visitors, job time, everything is so punctual and systematic. His day is packed completely with activities. No free time, no waste of time, such a systematic schedule. So when we study that, we again feel inspired to discipline our life properly and maintain a regulated lifestyle. So various interesting events have happened in Bhaktivinoda Thakur's life. One incident is when the famous Indian nationalist Bankim Chandra Chatterjee, he once wrote a book. Bankim Chandra is known for his national anthem, right? Bankim Chandra was a Vande Mataram, correct? So he once wrote a book called Krishna Charita, describing the qualities and pastimes of Krishna. And he thought, let me take the opinion of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, because Bhaktivinoda Thakur was known for his scholarly Vaishnav behavior and knowledge. So he approached Bhaktivinoda Thakur and told him to review the book. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur accepted his request and he started reading the book, and he found that the book was completely presenting impersonal philosophy. Impersonal philosophy means the book was not describing Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the original cause of all causes, having a eternal Sachidananda Vigraha form. None of those. It presented Krishna as a very great personality who did lot of nice things, and who was a social reformer and those kind of things. But not accepting Krishna as the Param original Adi Purusham Bhagwan. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur took great pains to point out the faults and mistakes, and he gave an elaborate review how this book need to be rewritten completely and presented in the proper Vaishnav way, presenting the Vaishnav conclusions in the right manner. So when Bankim Chandra received the book, he felt it was a really good review, and he again almost rewrote the book and presented the book, published the book according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur's instruction. And when he presented the book to the public, he had to face so many criticisms from his colleagues. The general understanding in those times, even in today's times, is that Krishna is again a mythological figure who may have appeared probably, but he was a social reformer, and he is not God, he is some ordinary personality, and he did a lot of nice work. Even among Hindus there is so many confusions and misconceptions, and unable to appreciate Krishna's divinity. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur and all our acharyas were pushing forward to remove these misconceptions and present Krishna as the original personality of Godhead. Just as Arjun describes in the Gita, Param Brahma Param Dhamma Pavitram Paramam Bhavan Purusham Shashvatam Divyam Adi Devam Ajam Vibhum. He is the original cause of all causes, having a spiritual body, not material body like ours. So people have a hard time understanding this fact, appreciating this fact, that Krishna is the original God. Many feel he is an egoistic person, always declaring that I am God, I am God. They are unable to accept Krishna's divine position. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur was instrumental in, especially in those times, during the British rule, and so many religious, reformal, social movements are happening, working and fighting against the British. In those turbulent times, Bhaktivinoda Thakur would write vigorously and preach vigorously, trying to establish the devotional conclusions in the right manner. So, similarly, so many other instances, like we saw this pastime of this Dongi Baba. In those times there were such a common thing. So many Babas and Gurus would come forward, they will perform some mystical powers, demonstrate some mystic powers, treat people's diseases, cure their illnesses, create some money, ash, and that would cheat the public. Even nowadays it is not so uncommon. There are so many Babas who do these kind of things, and people with misinformed people immediately accept them as God or some divine persons who can help me in a big way. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur's main contribution in those times was he developed a respectability, created a respectability for Vaishnavism among the intellectual mass of people. Just because of these Babas and mystics, people had considered Vaishnav saints to be low class, not to be taken so seriously. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, by his writings, he restored that respectability for Vaishnavism and Vaishnav teachings, because he himself was a greatly positioned person in the magistrate, so he had some position in society. So when he presented Vaishnavism in such a nice manner, logically, people started appreciating his presentations. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur was greatly influenced by Haridas Thakur, whose disappearance day is tomorrow. So he visited Jagannath Puri, and he visited his memorial place in Jagannath Puri, and he derived great inspiration from Haridas Thakur's life, who would chant minimum 192 rounds daily, 3 lakh names of Krishna daily. So that example inspired Bhaktivinoda Thakur a lot, and in his later pastimes, Bhaktivinoda Thakur also spent in that similar Babaji lifestyle. And he wrote a nice poem where he glorifies Haridas Thakur in a very special manner. He says, "He reasons ill who tells that Vaishnavas die, when thou art still living in sound. The Vaishnavas die to live, and living try to spread the holy name around." So even disappearance of a great devotee is not a very, nothing inauspicious about it. When they are living, they are preaching the glories of the holy name, and when they die, they continue to preach through their life's example the glories of the holy name. So when Haridas Thakur left this world, he became more famous. Lord Chaitanya personally took his body and took it to the Ganga, washed it, and created the Samadhi. So his glories became all the more known to the world. Similarly, whenever a great personality leaves this world, especially a saintly person, his glories become known far and more, and everyone starts appreciating. So, as Baldev Prabhu announced, this whole week, starting from today till the 15th of September, we have this holy name celebrations all over the world. It's every temple comes together and starts chanting and kirtan, japa, lot of japa workshops happen and try to inspire their people to chant more. So we will try to discuss something about the importance of chanting regularly and how we need to take this process seriously. Many of us are already chanting, but just to make our commitment stronger, we will try to spend some time till we have some time. So Krishna says in the Gita that yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyutthanam adharmasya tadatmanam sujamyam. Whenever and wherever there is a decline of religious principle and rise in irreligious principle, I descend. Abhyutthanam adharmasya tadatmanam sujami. I appear as an incarnation to destroy the miscreants and protect the saintly people. Paritranaya sadhuna vinashaya cha duskritam dharma samsthapanarthaya sambhavami yoge. So that is the purpose of an incarnation, to protect the devotees and destroy the miscreants. So in every age there is a yuga avatar and there are different avatars happening, and every yuga and every incarnation does the same thing essentially, protect some devotee and his lifestyle and kill those who are opposed to devotional principles, devotional lifestyle. So when Lord Ram came, he killed Ravan, Kumbhakarna and others, and he protected devotees like Vibhishan, Hanuman and the Vanar Sena. When Krishna came, he killed Shishupal and Dantavakra and so many other demons, protected devotees like the Pandavas. So this is a common function for all incarnations. So now we may wonder who is going to appear in this age, especially when so many wars and conflicts are happening all over the world. Many people ask, so why doesn't Krishna come now? He promises I'll descend in every age. This, what can be worse than this? Right? So many killing and bloodshed happening. So some incarnation should come and do something, restore the peace and peace and happiness of this place. So in this age, the scriptures tell us that the incarnation happens in a different form. Incarnation is there, but not as we usually expect, in a person form. Kali kale nama rupe Krishna avatar. Krishna appears in the form of his sound vibration. Nama rupe. So incarnation did happen 500 years ago in the form of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he inaugurated a process by which we can access the benefits of that incarnation through the sound of Krishna's holy names. So usually when an incarnation comes, people who are there in those times, they see the Lord and they get direct benefit, direct mercy. And when the incarnation leaves, then the teachings, whatever teachings are left behind, people take advantage of that. Like Krishna left, he left the Gita, and people received the mercy through studying the Gita. Lord Ram left, Ramayana was left behind. So you understand, get the mercy of Lord Ram by studying the Ramayana. So when Lord Chaitanya left, to access Lord Chaitanya's mercy, and the best way is to access the holy name. So holy name or Naam, Krishna's divine sound vibration, is the incarnation for this age of Kali. So there are verse after verse describing how the sound of Krishna's name is non-different from Krishna. Prabhupada used to give this example regularly. How by chanting water, 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 if I am thirsty, I don't quench my thirst. Right? If I am hungry, simply by chanting food's name, any food, I don't feel my hunger satisfied. But when we chant Krishna's name, that name being non-different from Krishna, we get the same experience of associating with Krishna directly. So that takes a lot of faith to appreciate how the name is non-different from Krishna. We need initially practice. Initially, we need little bit of faith, and when we do continuously, regularly, we chant consistently in the association of devotees, we gradually start understanding how the name is non-different from God Himself. So Lord Chaitanya said, Cheto Darpan Marjanam, when the cleansing of the heart happens regularly by chanting Krishna's name, then the more we become clean in our mind and actions, the more we are able to appreciate Krishna's non-difference from the name. So it takes time. So what is the advantage of chanting the name? It also performs the same function of an incarnation. Paritranaya sadhunam. The Sankirtan movement can protect and preserve the devotional principles of this age. The Srimad Bhagavatam describes how this age is an age of faults, an ocean of faults. Everything is faulty. You will find never anything ideal in society today. Take the politics is always faulty, business is always corrupt, and social dealings are always corrupt. Everywhere, every institution you go, every human being you will find no one is behaving in an ideal manner. Everyone is ultimately having some ulterior motive. You can't trust anyone. Every dealing is corrupted with some cheating propensity. So eventually we start losing faith. Bharosa kis pe rakhna? Whom to believe? Whom to trust? So therefore, kalir dosha nidhe rajan, Shukdev Goswami says, everything is full of faults. We may try hard to rectify the situation, improve the situation and make everything nice, but then that thing never happens. Political turmoils, when a government is appointed, initially people have great hopes, this government will be perfect. But after a few months or a few years, we understand, oh, this government is useless, it's corrupt. And then again, change the government. Every state, every parliamentary election, these things keep going on in every country. Because no one is perfect. It's all full of faults. So we struggle hard to restore that ideal situation, hoping for the ideal situation. One day I will attain this situation and everything will be happy and peaceful. That situation never arises. So we need to understand how everything is ultimately faulty. Especially in this age, nothing is ideal. It's full of faults. But asti heko mahan guna. There is one great benediction in this age that can rectify all problems. That is Kirtana Deva Krishnasya Mukta Sangha Paramraja. Simply by chanting Krishna's holy names, whatever deficiencies, mistakes are there in any act, everything is restored. In one Gita class, six session Gita course, Radha Gopinath Prabhu was telling this story, how there was this marriage ceremony, wedding function of a boy and a girl, and they had invited a priest to perform that ritual, and so everything was going on, sacrifice, that yajna was going on, and there was this priest who was reciting some mantras, Sanskrit mantras. And one of our devotees who was visiting the wedding function, he noticed that this mantras are something different, not the ones to be chanted during a wedding ceremony. And because he knew some Sanskrit, he understood that these mantras are supposed to be chanted during a funeral ceremony. So he pointed them out to the father of the girl, that this is what is happening, do something. So the father paused and he was thoughtful. And after a few minutes he said, Jane do na, ultimately kya fark padta hai? Something has to be done, some ritual has to be performed. So something is happening. Ultimately, this is not the main thing we are concerned with. But the party and the feast, that is the most important thing. This is just a formality. So this is what is happening in, so everything is faulty. Even such an auspicious occasion like a wedding is contaminated with inauspiciousness. So therefore, when kirtan is accompanied, when there is constant chanting of the holy name, as we have in Vaishnava functions, so then whatever mistakes happen during the course of the events, everything is taken care of. Otherwise, if you go by strict standards, it will take a long time to have everything perfect and complete. So, therefore, the holy name performs these two functions of restoring dharma. When there is constant sankirtan happening, then whatever non-devotional principles are there in society, that can be destroyed. Vinashaya duskratam happens by constant chanting of the holy name. So individually, every one of us has some divine and demonic qualities in us. So when we chant Hare Krishna, our divine qualities are protected individually and collectively. And non-devotional qualities, demonic qualities are destroyed by chanting Hare Krishna, chanting the holy names. So many people approach us. One person was approaching me. He said, "Why ISKCON should create a society that will, who has to be given freedom, who should be trained like Kshatriyas, and they should go and kill all the terrorists." This is the advice he was giving me. Why don't you train some people, select few, and train them, give them all freedom to go and kill all these terrorists. So that is not required. Our process is much more powerful than killing. So Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda Prabhu converted Jagai and Madhai, who were much bigger terrorists than our modern day terrorists. So, and they became devotees simply by exposing themselves to the sound vibration. So if you do it nicely, properly, systematically, and I have faith in the process, we can convert all these non-devotional, non-antisocial elements to perfect gentlemen. If you look at our own past lives, we all know how much demonic behavior we were having. And simply by chanting Hare Krishna, we got reformed. Right? So if we can get reformed, why not others can reform? Some may take less time, some may take more time. It's only a matter of time. So therefore, that constant kirtan should happen in all our programs, in our ISKCON temples, in our social functions. This is the key element. We may do all functions, birthday parties, funeral ceremonies, wedding parties, anniversaries, whatever it may be. But if it is accompanied by kirtan of the holy name, then we are contributing to society. That sound vibration can purify the atmosphere and restore the divine principles in society. So people may not appreciate what are you contributing to society? This is a big question people ask. Other organizations are doing so much social welfare work, helping the poor, educating the children, for blind, for handicapped. So many organizations are there dedicated to these people. What are you, Hare Krishna, doing? So we need to understand at least philosophically how by chanting Hare Krishna we are protecting the divine qualities in every human being and destroying the demonic elements in the heart of every living being. When demonic elements are destroyed, that can prevent so many future crimes. So that we need to understand how it is such a powerful process. So Kulashekhar, King Kulashekhar, he has written a nice book called Mukunda Mala Stotra, where he describes three verses. He compares the holy name to three things. And our acharyas explain how anything valuable is usually compared to these three things. And they are mantras, manis and aushad. Jewels, mantras and medicines. So these are very nice three verses from this book. And it shows how the holy name can be such a powerful thing. If we chant nicely, we can derive the benefits of mantras, manis and powerful medicine of the holy name. So first verse he says, Bhakta paya bujanga garuda manis trailokya rakshamanir Gopi lochana chatakam budamani saundarya mudramani. This comparison to money, a jewel. Yakanta mani rupini ghanakucha dvandvaika bhushamani Shreyo deva shikhamani rdishatu no Gopala chudamani. He is the jewel riding on the back of Garuda, who carries away the Lord's devotees on his wings. He is a magic jewel protecting the three worlds. The jewel-like cloud attracting the chataka bird eyes of the gopis. And the jewel among all who gesture gracefully. He is the only jewel ornament on the ample breasts of Queen Rukmini, who is herself the jewel of beloved consorts. May that crown jewel of all gods, the best of the cowherds, grant us the supreme benediction. So there is Chintamani, that is, that can convert anything it touches into another Chintamani, into gold. During Lord Chaitanya's time, Sanatana Goswami had a Chintamani. And one person who came to know about this, he approached Sanatana Goswami and begged for the Chintamani stone. So Sanatana Goswami said, it's there in the trash, garbage can. Go and pick it up. So he went to pick it up, but then he thought, why would Sanatana Goswami put this valuable jewel in this trash can? So picked up the jewel and he came to Sanatana Goswami and asked, he had enough sense to ask Sanatana Goswami, why did you throw this jewel here? So Sanatana Goswami said, because I have something more valuable than this jewel. So he said, I want to know what is that. Sanatana Goswami said, on one condition I'll tell you. You have to throw this jewel. Then I'll tell you. So he had enough faith in Sanatana Goswami, so he threw the jewel back in the trash. And he came to Sanatana Goswami and then Sanatana Goswami explained the real jewel. He gave him the Hare Krishna mantra. And he told him to chant regularly. So this is the real jewel. More valuable than all the gold, silver, diamonds, rubies, pearls. If you can appreciate the value and the treasure of this jewel, then our life will become perfect. It's the greatest benediction. Grant is the supreme benediction. Next verse Kulashekar says, he compares it to mantra, Krishna's holy names. Shatru Chedaika Mantram Sakalam Upanishad Vakya Sampujya Mantram Samsaro Cheda Mantram Samuchita Tamasas Sangha Niryana Mantram Sarvaishwaryaika Mantram Vyasana Bhujagas Sandashta Santrana Mantram Jivve Shri Krishna Mantram Japa Japa Satatam Janma Safalya Mantram. O tongue. Now this is a prayer to the tongue. The tongue is usually accustomed to speaking nonsense. Every time we want to speak, vibrate something that is meaningless or may not be so meaningful. So Kulashekar Maharaj is praying to the tongue. O tongue, please take this mantra of the holy name. Please constantly chant the mantra composed of Shri Krishna's names. This is the only mantra for destroying all enemies. The mantra worshipped by every word of the Upanishads. The mantra that uproots samsara. The mantra that drives away all the darkness of ignorance. The mantra for attaining infinite opulence. The mantra for curing those bitten by the poisonous snake of worldly distress. And the mantra for making one's birth in this world successful. Can uproot samsara. Very important. So for all these years, lifetime after lifetime, millions of lives, we have accumulated huge quantities of samsara. Samsara means these strong impressions. Every time we see something, taste something, hear something, an impression is created on the mind, positive or negative. So that when accumulates, so at the time of death, all these accumulated impressions decide our next body. The most prominent impression will decide what body this living entity has to get in his next life. So accordingly he is given the next body. In the next body he continues performing actions, accumulating reactions, accumulating impressions on his mind. So in this way life after life continues. Our Shankaracharya says, Punarapi Jananam, Punarapi Maranam, Punarapi Janani, Jathare Shayanam. A living entity passes through so many births and deaths. Punarapi Jananam, Punarapi Maranam. And then Punarapi Janani, Jathare. He enters into another womb of another mother and continues life after life. So, how to break the cycle of birth and death, samsara. How to get rid of all the impressions that we have accumulated in our minds for so long, for so many lifetimes. If the impressions are nullified, removed, then we are free. We restore our original identity as a servant of Krishna. And then we are qualified to go back home, back to Godhead. So chanting Krishna's holy names can uproot. If we consider this whole accumulation of some impression as a big tree, the chanting of the holy name can completely uproot the whole tree and keep the slate clean of all impressions. So that is the potency of chanting Krishna's holy name. It can remove all samsara. That which drives away all darkness of ignorance. Ignorance, we will see later again in detail. It's the lack of knowledge of our own self and of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Having imperfect understanding of our own self and Krishna's position and the world around us. So it can drive away that ignorance. Real knowledge can be bestowed. And for attaining infinite opulence, it can award us the highest opulence. Mantra for curing those bitten by the poisonous snake of worldly existence. Worldly distress. So every one of us is affected, has been bitten by a snake. Snake of material desires. And another snake in the form of time is chasing us to swallow us. It can destroy these two snakes. And the mantra for making one's birth in this world successful. Real success is going back home, back to Godhead, and positioning ourselves as a servant of Krishna. And the last verse, third verse, he compares the holy name to medicine, aushad. He says, Vyamoha prasham aushadham munimano vritti pravritti aushadham. Daityendrartikar aushadham tribhuvane sanjeevanaika aushadham. Bhaktatyanta hita aushadham bhava bhaya pradvamsanaika aushadham. Shreya praptikar aushadham pibamana shri krishna divya aushadham. Now this is a prayer to the mind. The earlier one was a prayer to the tongue. Now he is praying to the mind. He says, Vyamoha Prashamaushadam. It is a medicine for curing the disease of bewilderment. What is our bewilderment? We are unable to discriminate what is right and what is wrong. What is of real value, what is worthless. Even after coming to devotional life, we may practice devotional life to some extent, but we may not appreciate what is of real value. We may get distracted by so many other things that come along by the practice of devotional life, like name and fame and position and respect and even wealth also many times. A devotee may become wealthy after becoming a devotee. All the miseries are gone. So these things may catch our attention and we may misconclude that this is the goal of life. And we may be attached to those things. So therefore we remain bewildered, unable to understand what is the real purpose of practicing devotional life. So Vyamoha, for this bewilderment, the best medicine is Krishna's holy name. Munimano vritti pravritti aushadham. It is a perfect medicine for curing the disease, for inspiring sages to engage their minds in meditation. So for those who are philosophers, thinkers, meditating on Krishna's name is the best meditation that can satisfy the mind and intellect completely. For tormenting the mighty daitya demons, the same point, how it can destroy all non-demonic elements in society. So when we constantly vibrate this sound, individually or collectively, it is having an impact on demonic mentality, our own and people who hear. So initially people will object, this is something sentimental, something superstitious. But whether by criticizing, by jokingly, somehow or other, people hear and chant the name of Krishna, knowingly, unknowingly, accidentally, they are getting benefited. That is the best service we can offer to the society. It alone is a medicine for restoring the three worlds to life and for bestowing unlimited blessings on the Supreme Lord's devotees. Indeed, it is the only medicine that can destroy one's fear of material existence and lead one to the attainment of the Supreme Good. Fear, every one of us is affected by fear. Fear of bad health, fear of exams, fear of results, fear of job security, fear of recession, economic crashes, fear of relationships, maintaining the right relationships, fear of social position, and ultimately fear of death for everyone. It's always looming around our head. Some fear is always there. But it is covered. We usually cover it by some artificial display of emotions. So fear, chanting of the holy name can destroy that fear. And we can absolutely become fearless. So if you study the lives of these great acharyas, just like we saw the drama, how in spite of that Baba who was releasing all this black magic upon Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhaktivinoda Thakur remained completely fearless and it didn't affect him. Simply by chanting, taking shelter of the Bhagavatam and the holy name, he remained fearless. Even in Prabhupada's life you find so many instances where demons are attacking. One time in Kolkata, we were reading recently in Leelamrit, how in Kolkata Naxalites, there was a huge pandal program happening. 40,000 people attended every night. And these Naxalites threatened to destroy the whole event. So they released the flyers. And the flyers contained a threat. Fly or die. It was printed on the flyer. And Prabhupada got this flyer. Fly or die. And these communists, they were communists who didn't want Vaishnavism to spread in Bengal. So Prabhupada said, what can be a better thing than dying while preaching? So he said, I am not going to fly. I better die. If at all I have to die. So evening program, these Naxalites came and they started threatening people, started destroying the mood. And Prabhupada came to know this, some disturbances happening in the pandal. Immediately started chanting Brahma Samhita prayers. Chintamani Prakar Sadma Suhi. It's resounded in the sound system. And simply by chanting those prayers, somehow mystically, these Naxalites went away. Next day they again came. So Prabhupada said, call them. We will talk. We will discuss. And they came and they had a few discussion. And Prabhupada explained the concept of spiritual communism. Because they were communists, he explained how Varanashram is also communism with Krishna in the center. And we are not just capitalists accumulating money and then enjoying. We want to share with everything. So that philosophy appealed to them and they were happy. And then they promised, you need not leave. Continue your event for the next 10 days and we won't disturb you. So fearlessness comes when we are completely surrendered to Krishna. A pure devotee who has taken shelter of Krishna is totally fearless and is unaffected by any threat that comes to his life. So when we chant Hare Krishna sincerely and seriously, then we gradually develop that fearless mentality. Any threat, any impediment will not stop us from executing our devotional duties. So this mantra, this medicine has to be taken like a medicine. When the disease is very serious, then you are given an IV, right? That directly goes into the veins and arteries. So similarly, mantra, we all devotees know how it is so difficult to focus the mind while chanting Hare Krishna. But when we chant seriously, that mantra can have a direct effect on our mind. Simply otherwise, if we vibrate the sound with our tongue and lips, it will have some benefit definitely. But to get the full benefit of chanting, we need to hear. The mind has to be attentive and expose the sound to the mind. So, what are the benefits of chanting? It can free from all reactions. Klesha Agnishvara Rupa Goswami gives a list of benefits of chanting Hare Krishna. The Nectar of Devotion, Prabhupada explains. Kleshagni, Shubhada and Moksha Lagutakra, six benefits of chanting, six benefits of performing devotion service, of which the main thing is chanting Hare Krishna, chanting the holy names. When we chant, immediately we have our material miseries are destroyed. Main miseries, miserable existence starts falling down. And we experience a sense of relief. Relief from the pangs, the heat of material existence. It gets reflected in our face, in our behavior, in a certain joy and happiness we start vibrating. And people can notice how this person has changed a little bit. Otherwise, if we continue chanting and without working on our sinful activities, then it's like, as Parikshit Maharaj says, it's like bathing of an elephant. Elephant goes into a river, cleans up, comes back, rolls in the mud, and again it's back to the usual self. So, if we chant and continue performing sinful activities, then we won't derive the full benefit of chanting Hare Krishna, chanting the holy names. And scriptures explain the stories of people who have experienced great transformations. Valmiki is one example. You have the story of Mrigari. These are all heavy meat eaters, heavy animal killers. But somehow because of chanting the holy names, their whole personality changed. And they became great devotees. You know Valmiki, how he wrote the Ramayana. Initially his previous life he was a big hunter, killing animals, and somehow he came in contact with devotees and he became such a big saint. And his Ramayana is still so popular. So, second benefit, as Lord Chaitanya explains, Cheto Darpan Marjanam, all the seven benefits of chanting Hare Krishna. Cleansing of the heart, cleansing of the mind, knowledge, knowledge about our existence, knowledge about Krishna, our own self, everything becomes clear. Our discrimination and our attitude and behavior is more, it attains more clarity. How to behave in a certain situation, what is the right, make the right choices, and speak the right words. All these things can gradually develop when we practice devotional life. Freedom from anxiety and distress. That happens by practicing, chanting the holy names. And Shri Krishna Sankirtanam, Param Vijayate Shri Krishna Sankirtanam, it benefits everyone, every living entity. Therefore, one of the core practices of our ISKCON movement, of our Gaudiya Vaishnavism movement is public Sankirtan. This is what Lord Chaitanya inaugurated. All he did was, especially for the common masses, he would just hold rallies of Sankirtan. Take everyone together on the streets, on the roads. And the first, this is a civil disobedience movement. Prabhupada explains how he invited all the residents of Navadvip, and thousands of them marched towards Chand Qazi's palace. There was the first public demonstration of Sankirtan. And from then on, we have so many other, all the acharyas continued the practice. In our early ISKCON days also, chanting of Sankirtan, public Sankirtan was the only practice done. Before the introduction of any books or any other deity worship, other aspects of devotional life, the only thing devotees did was chant Hare Krishna on the roads and streets for 8 to 10 to 12 hours. 12 hour chanting every day in the western cities of New York and Los Angeles. Every day they would go, Hollywood cities, those areas, they would go with Mridang and Kartal and chant publicly, continuously playing Mridang and Kartal. There was the only preaching activity happening in those times. Gradually temples came, books came, unfortunately or fortunately it's reduced. The number of time spent in public Sankirtan, that is reduced. And we have other activities that has given more emphasis. So this holy name week is meant to again re-emphasize the importance of public chanting. So it is also important to note how in spite of chanting for so many years, some of us may be chanting for many more than 10-15 years, still it is not easy to develop a taste and attraction for this activity. So therefore, what are the causes of lack of taste? That is also important to know. And it was Bhaktivinoda Thakur who analyzed the whole thing and gave a systematic classification of different obstacles on the path of chanting Hare Krishna. So for serious devotees who want to improve our chanting process, we need to study this. Burijan Prabhu has written a nice book called Japa, Japa book, where he quotes Bhaktivinoda Thakur and he lists out four main points that are the obstacles on the path of chanting. We will briefly look at them. First is Tattva Vibhrama. Tattva Vibhrama means mistaken understanding of the philosophy. Vibhram, bewilderment of the philosophy. That means I don't know Krishna's position, I don't know my position, and I don't know the relationship between the two. So how Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and I am a servant of Krishna. I am a part and parcel of Krishna. Minute, infinitesimal, living entity, eternally. And Krishna is God eternally. And I have a relationship with Him, an eternal relationship with Him. So this primary understanding of philosophy, if that is not clear, then we will never develop the taste for chanting Hare Krishna, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says. If this philosophical understanding is not clear, we will never go beyond offensive chanting. Second point he says is Asatrishna. This is interesting. Asatrishna means we thirst for the temporary things. We hanker for temporary things. And that can be divided into four again. We maintain petty desires for material comforts. We desire heavenly pleasures. we desire mystic powers and we tend to desire liberation or freedom from suffering. Desiring petty material comforts like I need a car, otherwise I cannot come to temple, or I need this phone, I need some laptop, computer, without which my devotion service cannot improve. Material comforts. I need heavenly pleasures, extra comforts than the basic things. Desiring, so performing devotion service for attaining these comforts, that is an obstruction to chanting Krishna, holy names of Krishna. Desiring mystic powers, the ability to influence people by my devotional progress. So sometimes as we advance in devotion service, we may be able to understand people's hearts, people's minds, mystically. What the people is, someone is thinking, when someone is has come in front of us, we may probably able to read to some extent what he is thinking, what he is desiring, what are his intentions. And we may be able to, we may use these mystic powers for the benefit of that person, but if we misuse it and we hanker for these powers, some position, then that is impediment for chanting Hare Krishna purely. And lastly, the desire to attain liberation. Desire to attain freedom from all miseries. I don't want any discomfort, no problem, everything should be smooth and fine. Any discomfort, then I become miserable. So always expecting a nice, comfortable, peaceful situation. Only then I can perform bhakti, and that is an impediment to chanting Hare Krishna nicely. The third cause, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Hridaya Daurvalyam, weakness of heart. Krishna also tells Arjuna in the Gita how your heart is weak, second chapter. And this refers to two related weaknesses, attachment to objects unrelated to Krishna, and deceit, fault finding, envy, and the desire for fame. Attachment to things unrelated to devotional service directly. Attachment to the facilities we get. Attachment to my position. Attachment to some gadgets. Without which I won't perform bhakti. And this attachment is the weakness of heart. And in the face of temptations, we are unable to say no. The inability to say no to temptations, that is Hridaya Daurbalyam, weakness of heart. So even after chanting for many years in safe environment, when we come across a temptation, any temptation, if we are unable to resist it, that means our heart is still weak. We have not become strong enough to say no. And the last cause, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, is aparad. Offenses while chanting. And you know how the 10 offenses, disobeying the instructions of the spiritual master, committing sinful actions on the strength of the holy name. All these 10 offenses will stop us from relishing the holy name properly. So therefore, as a practitioner, as a committed serious practitioner of devotional life, we need to pay extra attention to these things. They are not just details, something that can be ignored. Maybe some other time, whenever I feel it is important, then I'll look into this. It's not like that. It's a core part of our devotional life. It's in a sense a principle that cannot be ignored. So when we sincerely practice, try to improve seriously, then we need to look into each and every aspect of devotional. That's why these things are given. If they are not important, our acharyas won't mention this. They won't analyze this so seriously, so systematically, and present to us. So therefore, for a serious practitioner, we need to chant seriously the regular number of rounds, and we need to pay extra attention to avoid these aparas and mistakes that can come upon us. With the Holy Name Week celebration, we encourage you all to participate in this. As soon as the Sunday feast gets over, after Prasadam, we will have public Harinam Sankirtan going around maybe Marine Drive and or somewhere close by. So this is very important. It's not just an entertainment, not just a devotional entertainment. We are offering the highest benefit to anyone who comes in contact with that sound. And in the process, we may face challenges. We may become objects of criticism, objects of fun. But without caring for all these, if we can boldly go out and participate in this event, it will be a great benediction upon those who are totally ignorant about spiritual life. This is the first introduction they get about real spiritual process. So it's our responsibility to present, go out and make them exposed to these sound vibrations. And during Prabhupada's time, there was this famous Radha Damodar Sankirtan party, traveling Sankirtan party. So there was Vishnujan Swami Maharaj and Tamal Krishna Swami Maharaj who organized these whole bus parties. So what they would do is, they would take a big, huge bus, Greyhound buses, and they had these DTs, Radha Damodar, Radha Krishna DTs, positioned in the back of the bus. And inside the bus, they had kitchen, they had lockers, they had beddings, everything, bathrooms, everything inside the bus. And this bus would travel all over the United States, the various cities, various colleges, campuses. So they would go to a town, they would go to a college or university campus, and they would set up the altar. They would bring Radha Damodar out of the bus, and in a park or in a college campus, and set it up, and they would start doing kirtan. This was in the 1970s. And simply by hearing that kirtan, Vishnujan Maharaj was a great singer. Simply by hearing his singing, hundreds of people would come together, congregate around them, and then listen to the whole kirtan. They would chant Hare Krishna kirtan, or they would chant some bhajans. But that singing would attract so many people. That was their introduction to the Holy Name. First exposure to Holy Name. And in this way, they attracted hundreds and thousands of people. Most of the people who joined in those times were out of this book distribution and Sankirtan happening through these Radha Damodar bus parties. So initially they started with one bus, and it expanded to dozens, more than 100 buses by the time Prabhupada left this world. So it was a huge, huge success. And that public Sankirtan attracted thousands of people into our movement. And they also faced challenges. It's not that everything was smooth and they were welcomed all the time. So one time they went to a campus, University of Berkeley, California. So they set up the campus. So outside the campus there were these food vendors. All those food vendors like we see here in Chowpatty. So they had these food vendors and they would sell food for the students. So every university would have 40,000-50,000 students. And when they would come out, and they would eat in all these, purchasing food from these vendors. So our devotees with this bus, they went to this campus site, and they set up their bus outside the campus. So, other vendors would charge for food, our devotees would distribute for free. Because they would get donations, so they would cook prasad, offer it to Radha Damodar, and they would distribute it for free. So when the vendors came to know that these people are distributing for free, so they had a big problem with this. Because then their business was getting affected. No one would purchase from them. And all these students would go to these devotees and purchase their food, prasad. So they started complaining. They first complained to the college authority saying you shouldn't allow them. So college authority said, okay, we won't allow them inside the campus. You have to go outside the campus. So devotee said, okay. So outside the campus, they selected a prime spot, setting up the bus. And again they started distributing for free. So these devotees complained to the police. And there was this one orange vendor. And he would throw orange peels at the devotees. There was one Hector. He would throw rotten tomatoes. He and his wife would throw rotten tomatoes at these devotees. So when they complained to the police, police just laughed away. Hey, there's nothing seriously to be taken. They didn't listen to the complaint. So anyway, they tolerated. They couldn't do much. So they were thinking, should we go out? Should we leave the campus? Go to some other town? But then they felt, now Radha Damodar's reputation is at stake. Krishna's reputation is at stake. We can't just leave. We have to give a fight. Put up a fight. So next day, what they did, they came at 7 o'clock. Early morning. The vendors usually come at 8 o'clock. They came early at 7 and then they set up, they selected the best spot and they set up their bus. So by the time 8 o'clock, everyone started coming. They saw, hey, these devotees are still here. They are not, they cannot be easily driven away. So they tolerated the whole day. Next day, this Hector, the person who was throwing tomatoes, he came at 6. He came at 6 o'clock and he set up that his stall at that main spot. So when the devotees came at 7, they were shocked. This guy is quite enthusiastic. And he is not easily giving up the fight. So what the devotees did, they set up the stall just next to his stall. And they started doing all the morning programs, all the kirtan. Throughout the day they did kirtan. And forced Hector to listen to the holy name. So throughout the day he tolerated the kirtan. And devotees hoped that hearing the kirtan he will be get purified and probably he will change. But the next day devotees came at 5:30 instead of 6. And when Hector came at 6, he understood these people are not going away so easily. And he got so angry, so furious. He came out of the stall and he started pulling the rug. Dari is there. He started pulling the rug and started pushing the devotees out of their position. So devotees also pushed him back. And finally he went to his stall, he took up an iron rod and started charging towards the devotees. So inside the bus, our Vishnujan Swami Maharaj was doing the aarti for Radha Damodar. He noticed this person is coming with an iron rod. Immediately jumped off the altar and he took up another iron rod and he charged towards this person. And all the devotees also, they were unaware this guy is holding an iron rod. But seeing Vishnujan Maharaj jumping out, all these devotees came together and somehow pushed this guy back. So they were saved that day. So that was the last day. After that they didn't have to face any challenges. So the point I'm trying to say is how when you go out, preach, start spreading the holy name, we have to face so many challenges. People will attack us, criticize us, complain against us, and throw tomatoes on us, do so many things, do all kinds of nonsense. During one festival, someone was again throwing these tomatoes, and the devotees would go and give him prasad, laddus. And the same guy, after eating this prasad, after many years, he donated a whole truckload of tomatoes for Rath Yatra festival. So this is how prasad and devotees chanting can change someone. Initially they will object, they will criticize, but eventually they will transform. So we invite all of you for this evening Harinam Sankirtan party, this Sunday and the next Sunday. And please participate and enthusiastically share the nectar of the holy name with all the devotees, all the people outside. So thank you so much. Hare Krishna.